Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Okie dokie. Happy New Year, everyone. It's Fat Mascara. I cannot believe we are finally here. Who would have ever thought, Jen?
Happy New Year's, Jess. Happy New Year's, Fat Mascara fam. It's New Year's Eve, and here we are. We made it through 365 days of
2020. No. I would have never have guessed when we kicked off 2020, we would be finishing it up in each of us in our own homes. Wow.
With you being a mom, like what
you had
a
dog.
I got a dog. Right now I might be in Germany with my stepson.
God willing. Crossed. God willing. Okay. Oh,
it's been a year, but we're ending it with it. We picked this interview very specifically, right? Yeah,
very specific. Okay. So, again, not sure. I'm going to throw it again to our friends at Los Angeles. We did a really fun cross pod with them this month and they asked us, they really kind of like, they made their show like very serious, kind of like they wanted us to trend spot. I thought we were just going to have fun, but we had some homework. So we had to actually like prepare and do some work, but it was really fun. And Jen and I each chose trends for the coming year for 2021. And one of our trends, my trend, but Jen, I think you co-sign with this, right? Is that we're going to
co-sign
completely. I mean, like the head of the science corner, I'm sure you would, you know, put your seal on this.
Yes. Yes. As the CEO of Jen's science corner.
We're going to definitely be seeing a hard return of science in 2021. The industry is definitely, I feel like, moving away from floofy, fluffy. I heard.
As Caroline says, stop the nonsense.
Stop the nonsense. Yes, exactly. Caroline Hiron saying, stop the nonsense. We want to see a hard return to facts, figures, and evidence. And I think our cosmetic chemists, our doctors, our lab peeps, they are leading the way. And I think at the forefront of this movement are folks like Ron Robinson. He is a cosmetic chemist, and he was also one of our favorite guests at Fat Mascara. And I just love this interview with him. He is calm, cool, collected, measured, and smart as like a tack. He is sharp. So
And he's doing his own thing now. Like, this is the guy, just so you know, he's made the products for all of those brands. He can't always tell us which ones that you know. Fancy creams, all of that. And last year, I think, he started Beauty Sat, his own brand. He was like, let me bring all this knowledge for myself, but also for you guys. I love that concept. Love the brand. His vitamin C serum is dopey dope, dope, dope. Mm-hmm. And he's a lovely guy. And we're excited to reintroduce you to him if you haven't met him on the show yet.
Super lovely. He's not like a contrarian kind of, like, I want to say, like, for lack of a better word, he's not like a shit stirrer. You know what I mean?
No, this is a man who's had to work in corporate America. You could tell that he's he's not, we get a everybody shit-stirrer. In a room and let's just find where we can all agree.
Yes, but he's like, I'm going to come at you with the facts. He's like, I'm going to let the facts speak for themselves and I'm going to walk away. You know what I mean? I love his style. I really love his style. And I'm so happy that he was on the show. Sorry.
Me too. One note. We did record this one in an old studio with old producers, so the sound quality is going to be slightly different. But our lovely sound engineer, Red, hopefully will fix it all up. And we hope you enjoy it. Here it is.
Yes. Thanks, Ron. We are here with Ron Robinson, a cosmetic chemist and also the founder of BeautyStat Cosmetics. He is a trusted resource for beauty editors like Jen and I for years.
Years. I interviewed you years ago. Yes. Right? You're not that old, but...
I know, you look amazing, but you really are like one of the first cosmetic chemists I ever emailed, and I email you, I feel like, almost the most.
Yeah, we do chat a lot. So I appreciate the engagement. And it's great to finally meet you in person, Jessica.
Oh,
really
likewise. So we're going to get to know you a little bit.
Okay.
And then you were so kind, you agreed to answer some of our listener questions. Thanks, guys. You're awesome. Welcome to Fat Mascara, Ron. Welcome.
Yay. Thank you for
Isn't
having me.
Isn't it nice to meet me, too?
It's great to meet you, Jen. Absolutely. Yes, thank you so much for having me.
So, okay, you are a cosmetic chemist, but you're one of the few who, I think I speak for Jen, too, we can name firsthand. You know, it's like a makeup artist or hairstylist, where like, there's really just a finite amount that beauty editors call on. How did you get to be this person?
I think when I've worked at a lot of big companies. I started as a cosmetic chemist for Clinique and worked there for many years and then moved into other product development roles at Lauder, L'Oreal, Revlon, Avon, et cetera. So after spending so much time and then leaving the brand side to start a beauty stat, all of a sudden a lot of editors reached out and said, hey, Ron, you're not, you know, you're independent. You could be a resource for us. And it started from there. That's how it all began.
Awesome. And when I think of cosmetic chemists, I really do think it's, as I was just introducing you, it's so crazy that we, you know, Jen and I, and I speak for all beauty editors here, like, we don't profile them in the same way we do other folks in the industry. And we really don't know a lot of the people who are making the stuff. Instead, we're talking to the marketing person or the founder. And not that that's not appropriate. It just feels like there's something missing. So I was thinking about this a little bit and I was like, well, we saw a shift just a few years ago with fragrance, where now it's like the perfumers are the stars, mm-hmm. the guys cooking up or lady is cooking up the juice.
Yep.
Do you think there's any hope for skincare that we can get people like yourself out and more in the forefront?
I think it's a trend. I really do.
You do?
I do. Because basically, a lot of celebrities, influencers are starting their own lines or mm-hmm. at least becoming more vocal. So I think we're going to see more chemists step out as well.
Oh, like they're going to want the chemists for credibility?
Credibility, authority, and some chemists like myself might even launch and introduce their own line.
Right.
That's a good segue.
Yes. So you just launched some products that are fantastic. The vitamin C, the barrier cream, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
So these are the two that we're starting with.
Yes.
And this is BeautyStat.
Yeah, BeautyStat Cosmetics Universal C Skin Refiner. That's our breakthrough patented stable vitamin C, 20% pure vitamin C, as well as our Universal Pro Bio Moisture Boost Cream. Two SKUs. Clinically tested, fantastic results in 4 weeks, and consumers seem to be really loving it.
Okay, we're calling it now, like, cosmetic chemists are the new derms and facialists.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like, remember all the facialist headlines?
Yes, right, yep.
And then the derms.
Yep.
You're the first.
This is your moment.
Yep.
Okay, so BeautyStat we're excited about, but even more excited to ask you questions.
Yes.
Okay, so just so you guys know, we sourced these from our Instagram and from our Facebook page. And if you are not a member yet, go to the episode recap and you can join our Facebook fan page,
Ron, you can join also.
It's private, but we'll let you in.
Okay.
We'll let you in. Okay.
Appreciate it.
So are you ready? First up, this
yes,
is perfect.
Ready.
It's about vitamin C.
Yeah.
So how do you know if a vitamin C product is effective? We hear all sorts of things like, it depends on the color of the bottle, the color of the product, the smell, what ingredients it's combined with. Give us your expert opinion.
My perspective on vitamin C is the consumer needs to do two things. They need to check to make sure there's clinical testing results from an independent testing lab. They mm-hmm. should look for that. And two, check reviews to make sure the product's not shifting in color or in terms of odor, because those are cues that the product might be oxidizing and may not deliver its results from the first use to the last.
Does that mean it wasn't formulated to be stable? Is that not good for your skin?
Well, basically, it's not going to be effective if the product is oxidizing.
So if it changed color, that means it's not working as well?
It's not working as well. Basically,
okay.
the vitamin C is no longer active. It's been rendered inactive and therefore not being able to deliver results. So
don't they all change color, though, a little bit?
Not ours.
Okay.
But yes, a lot on the market, they do shift color.
Yeah, I need to pay closer attention.
Yeah, so consumers, look for clinical testing, and two, make sure that they read reviews to make sure that particular product is not shifting color, oxidizing, and thus becoming inactive.
And what about the product jar? Does it matter if it's airless, if it's glass? I've heard it should be glass, not plastic.
Yes, vitamin C is a very sensitive ingredient, so it does oxidize in the presence of air or light. So the product should be in a well-contained, almost airless type of package, so therefore it doesn't get, no oxygen can get in, or opaque, so no light, gets to it and helps and makes it shift color.
Okay. And the last thing, I think you sort of touched on this, but does it need to be in the presence of another thing? Like, do you need it with vitamin E in order to make it work better?
Well, when I formulate a product, I want to make sure there's maybe multiple ingredients I might put in it in order to get a synergistic effect, if you will, to make sure the product really delivers. So a good formulator may use multiple ingredients. But again, at the end of the day, it's that testing. Does the product have clinical testing results that really shows from a third party that it delivers results?
Would they be on the website? Like, where would you find those?
On the product.
The brand.
Package copy, the brand website. If they have it and the results are good, they would show it.
Oh, ooh. Interesting.
So what about, not to slag off the little guys, but the little brands, maybe they can't afford to do that kind of testing. Do you think that it's just kind of like them's the breaks for them? Or do you feel like...
If that's the case, then I think the consumers could rely on reviews.
Okay.
And basically rely on their peers to say, okay, did they use it and did they see good results? And then that could be one way to vet.
So because clinical testing is pretty expensive, right?
It's very expensive. It's very expensive.
So another controversial topic, vitamin C was one. The second most popular thing was the essential oils. Mm. Are they bad or are they good? We've had guests come on who were definitively anti-essential oil, mm-hmm. and then we have some that, are just putting them in their products, really proudly. So what's your take on this whole thing?
My take is this. When you think about essential oils, they're really comprised of fragrance components. It's basically a lot of different fragrance elements inside one oil.
Okay.
So when you think about a consumer that wants a product that's geared for sensitive skin, usually it's fragrance-free.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the reason why it's fragrance-free is because fragrance contains a lot of different types of chemicals, and a lot of them can be irritating to
even
those.
Even natural fragrances.
Even natural.
So those aroma
natural
chemicals in there,
yes,
are irritating.
Can be irritating, yes. So that's why people opt for the fragrance-free option, because they know, hey, I'm sensitive to that. I wish they would launch a fragrance-free version, which a lot of brands do, to address those that have sensitive skin.
And what if it's not like a lavender essential oil? It's something like rose hip that's like used as an active oil, or is that different?
Yeah, that's another good point. That's one way some brands kind of get around having a nice scent mm-hmm. in the product. So they might pick an ingredient like chamomile, if you will. So chamomile has a primary benefit of helping to soothe and calm irritated skin. The side benefit is that it has a nice scent to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's not in there necessarily as a fragrance, but it's there to help really serve a benefit of calming skin.
So what I hear you saying is it's not a black and white issue. It depends on the oil and your skin.
On your skin. So if you're really sensitive, if you have really sensitive skin, you shouldn't use essential oils.
That's so funny, because a lot of the brands that are like, it's natural and clean for sensitive skin, are the ones that are fragrancing them
right.
with essential oils instead of synthetic fragrances.
Right.
Do you think these companies just lack the knowledge, or do you think that they're trying to have, you know, have it always?
I think they want to give the consumer a great experience, and scent is a part of that to a big extent. So they're about giving a nice, you know, really luxurious scent, and they use oils to get there.
Yeah. Got it. Okay, next up, just giving it to you straight, are the expiration dates on products real?
What does that mean, real? Yeah. I love our listeners. Well, that may have been my paraphrasing. Are they real?
Well, I think cosmetic and beauty products you don't have to put an expiration date. It's not
like
a prescription. You don't. But consumers kind of want to gauge, like, does this last a year, 6 months? You know, my feeling, and I've done a lot of interviews about expiration dates, and my feeling is that we typically formulate a product to last about 1 to 2 years maximum, and that the clock starts ticking once you open up the product.
Okay.
However, it could vary depending on the type of product. An eye product, a mascara or something, where you're using around the eye area, that you want to toss after 3 to 6 months. Because again, it's close to your eye. It's a very sensitive area where you're applying the product. So you don't want to be using that, the same mascara, a year and a half later.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to toss those things. Common sense. Store your products in a cool, dry environment. Close your jars tightly. Cap your your tubes tightly. And store your product. You know, don't leave your caps open. Don't leave things in a hot, humid bathroom all the time.
Oh, dear.
I just realized why people might ask that too. I think they think, oh, this company's just trying to sell me more. Like, it still works after a year and I still have some left. They're just trying to throw it out and buy a new one, which maybe that is the case, but that might be why someone asks about it. Do you find that to be true?
I do find that, yeah.
Yeah.
Brands are not really, they're not trying to, they really would rather be safe, really be safe.
Than buy more. Okay.
So after
like 12 months, it's not that suddenly like my Chanel cream has gone from being effective to ineffective. There's just a degradation that happens after that.
It's not like
it's black and white. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's not like it's black and white. Like, oh, it's good, and then it turned bad.
Right.
It's not milk,
right,
you know?
It's going to be gradual.
Okay.
And then the other cues you could pick up. Is it starting to dry out? Is it starting to separate?
Mm-hmm.
Is it shifting color? Does this odor starting to turn a little bit? Those are cues. Toss it.
So my bathroom gets really hot and humid, and all of my nice luxury skincare is in there. It sounds like I got to take it out.
Yeah, or put an air conditioner in.
Oh my God, it gets so hot. Well, you know, I don't have central AC. It's an old building. but now I'm thinking of when I go home, I want to start bringing things to my dresser.
Where do you store your products,
Ron?
I store them in the bathroom as well, but I'm careful.
Is he a central AC?
Yeah. I wish. No, man, I'm in the same old apartment. No, seriously. No, it's you want to make sure it's closed properly, and you have to do your best. And then Be conscious of when it's time to really toss that product.
Okay.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll
know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
So, okay, here's another big one. I'm surprised I didn't open up with this. What's your take on parabens?
Parabens, okay.
Yeah.
I've formulated with parabens, you know, I've been doing this for a long time. I've formulated some of the early products that I've developed with parabens. They've been fine. However, we're in an environment now where one study comes out with data that is a little bit scary. Consumers, they run with it, and they actually demand that the manufacturers, hey, I don't want my product to have that.
Is there that study, though?
There are some studies about—
What are
about,
people, like, blowing out of proportion? Like, what is that study? Yeah,
what's the study?
The study is about that it may have some negative impact on—
Which type
on
of paraben?
Well, it's, I think it's all of them. You know, there's methyl, butyl, paraben, those types of parabens. And there's some studies that are showing that it may have some bad effects on hormones.
And they're in humans, these tests.
And these are,
so they
these
could
are,
be like endocrine yes, disruptors.
Yes, correct.
And then what if we hear from someone like, but parabens are what are in plants. It's what keeps plants preserved. It's a natural part of the world. Can we feel safer when we hear something like that?
Well, again, not everything that's natural, when it's applied to our skin, is necessarily going to be safe. So the good news is that we have a lot of alternatives to preserve our products that don't require parabens. So the industry is basically, they've given in. They've said, okay, consumers, we know you don't want parabens any longer. Mm-hmm. We've moved on. They're out. We're using other ingredients that are safe and that are effective.
So just for ultimate clarity, do you think parabens are really bad? And then I have a follow-up.
I personally
like
do
to
not.
To your family, would you give them a product with parabens?
I would. I would feel comfortable doing that.
Okay, family test.
Yes, yeah, that's true. I would feel comfortable doing that. However, now that we've now moved into other ingredients, mm-hmm. there's no need to.
So that's perfect setup for my second question. How many, like, since parabens, you said, you know, when you started working, you were doing stuff with parabens. Are they even in that many things anymore?
Not anymore. The companies have now removed them.
Even if they don't lead with the paraben-free messaging, right?
Correct.
Okay, because I was looking in my medicine cabinet and I noticed that like very few, if any, of my products said paraben-free. And I'm like, oh, am I like the last holdout? But then I was talking to someone and they said, well, the parabens aren't really like, they might not say it, but every company's taken them out,
right,
you know?
Right.
So I thought that was reassuring.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not terrified of parabens, and I'm less so just from this conversation, but it's interesting. You don't need to necessarily look for that to feel completely safe.
You don't. And again, companies have moved on to other ingredients, so it's not like there's alternatives out there, basically.
Okay, this brings us to another question that comes up a lot from our listeners about quote-unquote clean beauty.
Yes.
So I wanted to know, what's your take on the trend? What does clean mean to you? But then also, are there any other ingredients you are concerned about, even though parabens might not be one of them?
Yes, yeah, certainly the formaldehyde one, that's clear.
Okay.
That's a clear. We know it's unanimous that everyone agrees that should be out. So I'm there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Other ingredients, you know, I guess my take on clean movement is that a lot of brands talk to clean, meaning what's clean, the ingredients inside they claim are clean, but yet their product isn't a plastic package.
And what does that do to...
So I'm like, you're clean on the inside, but you're dirty on the outside.
Do you mean just for like...
That's funny.
You mean for like environmental reasons or because the plastic is leaching something into the product?
No, for environmental
okay,
reasons,
gotcha,
yes,
gotcha.
Yes. Yeah, because some of the clean movement is environmentally focused. So it's both. It's both potentially irritating and then also potentially not green.
I get it. But back to the clean thing. So you said formaldehyde, obviously, but if you look at these, they call them the no-no lists for a lot of these brands that call themselves clean. Some of them run 20, 30, 40 products or ingredients long that they won't include. Is this just marketing hype or, you know, is this where the whole industry is going?
I think the industry is going two places at the same time. Some are forging ahead, clean, clean, clean. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you where I am. I'm on performance, performance, performance.
Yes, from Robinson.
So that's basically where I am. And where one ingredient that could be on some people's dirty list,
yeah, that's what
is I'm not silicones.
Okay,
silicones, they're derived from sand.
Silica, yes,
silica, yes. Yeah. From sand. So basically, we take sand and basically we're able to synthesize silicone out of sand. But it's gotten a really bad rap in some circles, and that's one of those ingredients. Some people define it as not clean, and others say it's okay.
Yeah. And that's what gives products like a nice slip, right?
There's nothing else like it.
I used a vitamin C serum the other day that did not have silicone. And it dragged like on my face. I was like, why does this feel like that? And then I realized it was probably the lack of silicone. I don't have a problem with silicone, but some people, I think we talked about this on the show at one point, like if they don't like it, like that's fine. But I don't want to sit on the mic and say that it's going to kill you.
Right.
Right.
What is, if you look on a dirty list, what would be the reasoning for no silicone? Have you ever found one that makes sense?
More environmentally than anything.
Mm. Because it's bad for the environment, the process of making the silicone.
Oh, the process of where it goes. You know, it's, you know, it's rinsed down the sink and everything.
So what happens when it's rinsed down the sink?
Poor little turtles. Yeah, maybe
And this question is, but is it building up? Is it damaging to the environment? And I'm not there. I believe that it does recycle in its own way, not to the extent of something like paper, but I think it does recycle.
So we're not going to have like a Fatberg made of silicone in the Pacific Ocean soon.
Right. I don't think we're there.
And as far as your skin goes, it doesn't clog pores?
Does not clog pores. Okay. And again, it's about texture. The texture is just, there's nothing like it.
So our listeners, as you could tell from these questions, are very, they really prioritize like, you know, information, and they're very savvy about, you know, seeking out the latest studies. Where is the best place, like where's the ultimate resource for our listeners and consumers in general to research ingredients?
I think I'd like to recommend two places. Well, really one place, Wikipedia. Seriously, what I like about Wikipedia, it's monitored, it's peers, it's experts working as a group. You can't go in with a bias because someone will check you.
That's interesting. Okay. Yeah. Because a lot of people, they have, you know, they go to, and this is no shade or anything, like Environmental Working Group, or they go to Beautypedia, or they go to Joe Schmo's blog, and that's like they come waving their study.
Right.
But Wikipedia,
this might be a good time
balanced
to remind that .org does not officially make you a non-biased resource, isn't that right?
And that's my feeling. Wikipedia, what I recommend, it's constantly being updated. So it's not something that's static where someone's site, what it says 5 years ago, may be the same thing today.
That's interesting.
That's true, because you're always having new research come out. Have you ever edited a Wikipedia entry, Ron?
I'm not a Wikipedia editor, but that's what I do love. I do love the fact that it's constantly being fact-checked.
And you can see. I edited once, and it was famous people's birthdays, and it was like the day, so I put my friend's name in it, who is not famous, and sent the link, and I was like, happy birthday, you're on Wikipedia. And I was like, how long will it last?
They checked
4 hours later, one of the editors was like, this person isn't famous, delete.
My friend just tried to put a scary ghost story to scare a friend on the way up to like an upstate house
in a Wikipedia entry.
Oh, like that this town was where like 80 children were like murdered. Like,
how long did it last?
A second. We should have screenshot.
They are quick
because he's very afraid of like ghosts. He was spooked out by like the whole environment of like
funny.
You know, like upstate, like no street lamps, all that.
The paraben ghost lights of upstate New York.
And I said, don't make that mistake, we wasted a lot of time.
Okay, that's excellent advice. So speaking about ingredients in particular, if you use a product with retinol or a retinoid, which has somewhat of an exfoliating effect, and you also like an exfoliating acid, like say glycolic, do you need to sort of rotate or alternate them, or can you use those at the same time? You're going to burn your face off? How's it work?
Well, the skin can multitask. So
that's funny.
You could throw a bunch of things at it and it'll do. Oh, hydroxy acids. Okay, I'll exfoliate. Oh, retinol. Oh, I'll speed up the cell turnover. Oh, this, you know, so it could do multiple things. But why would you want to do that? You know, if you have a certain concern, beauty concern, skin concern, I recommend one treatment at a time. In other words, you have one step that's going to be your targeted treatment. So after cleansing, you know, whatever that product is, whatever that serum is that's targeting or addressing your concern, use that at that time. Then follow with your moisturizer, SPF.
Ron, we got lots of concerns. What if our list is like five concerns?
So you have day and night. Hopefully everyone's cleansing their skin day and night, and that's your time to then use the other one if you feel you have another need that needs to be addressed. So that's what I recommend.
So do you think it's like really crazy when people are like, I take my three serums and I mix them all together and then I pat them on my face? Or like, I'm a K-beauty person. I have 10 steps with 30 different actives.
Right. Yeah, I recommend to simplify it a little bit. As I said, your skin can multitask. It can do, but why would you? And especially if your skin is more sensitive, and you'd really want to know what's working and what's not. And if you're mixing everything, then it's just hard to tell.
That's a good point to talk about. Like, you might want to introduce one at a time too, I'm guessing.
Yep, so, you do.
And how long do you have to give it before you're like, okay, this one didn't work, moving on?
Well, give it the time that the brand recommends. There's some directions in terms of, are we going to see something in 2, 4, 6 weeks? And then, you know, follow it and then judge after that.
So this is a related question about mixing ingredients. Can products, quote unquote, or ingredients cancel each other out? I love this. We've got so many of this.
So many people think this.
I think it too sometimes. I'm like, okay, is my glycolic killing my, I don't know, my rose hip oil, my retinol?
No, again, your skin can multitask, and there are few ingredients that really cancel or neutralize each other. So
this is such an urban myth,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so you're really fine. But again, why do you need to throw so much at your skin at one time? Use one treatment product, maybe two, to really get the benefit out of it. And then use the other step or your other type of product at another time of day.
Okay. And if you're worried that, like you said, there was a couple of things that might not cancel, isn't it true that you put it on and give it a minute to absorb or so, and then you'd still be fine to put on the other one?
You do. You want it to absorb because, you know, if you want it to at least dry down a little bit so that you could apply the next one and smoothly, evenly.
Oh, without like pilling
yes,
or anything.
Yep.
Okay. Last question from our listeners before we have our own question. Are products that claim to prevent quote-unquote blue light damage necessary, or are there other protective products we're already using that takes care of that? Like, what's up with this blue light trend?
I think the blue light, it's a little bit of marketing to some extent. My feeling is that more research needs to be done in terms of whether the blue light from our devices is actually causing any damage. I think more research needs to happen there.
Because we all feel like, oh my God, I stare at a computer all day and it's just like killing me with the invisible rays.
A lot of big companies are putting, like, you know, ones with big budgets and R&D, they're talking about blue light production. So I figured this is really legit. You're not completely convinced yet.
Well, are they talking blue light from that comes from the sun? Because
they're talking about tech from devices.
Tech protection.
Yeah. Okay.
I just picked up my phone. I don't know why.
Because you want to tell a blue light. Sure, that's a good point, which is it's a wavelength that you're naturally getting from UV light and you want to protect from UV light.
Right.
That we know for sure,
we know. Yes, we know. So that's a concern. I think that what's unknown is to what extent is there damage coming from my phone or computer screen.
Interesting.
Okay. Cool.
Now we get to ask our own question. Okay. Go, Jess.
So we want to know, I mean, you're the authority, you're the expert. What's in your job kit? What skincare products are you using every day?
Oh my God.
You look great.
I use so much.
You have to see this man.
I use so much. And also,
you just told us to simplify.
Yes.
I use so much.
I test a lot. I've tested. So it's kind of different in that respect, but.
Let's get into it.
Okay,
Tell
let's
us.
Get into it.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm testing are new products that we plan to launch under BeautyStat Cosmetics. So that's what I've been busy testing more than anything these days.
Okay, before you decide to launch your own company, what were some of your go-tos?
A lot of the products that a lot of beauty editors have been sending me to
assess.
Yeah.
Ah, I see. Can you name, now that you no longer work there, any products you ever developed for a big famous company? Are you still like under an NDA or something?
Oh, no, I could tell you. I developed a lot of the early Clinique turnaround products. I developed
very
a lot
cool.
of those.
So turnaround those, for eyes?
Turnaround for eyes, face, oily skin. So I developed a lot of those early products. So,
neat.
So that was my big, you know, development heyday for Clinique. And then others at Avon and L'Oreal and Lancôme.
You have some Anew products
big
in
ones.
Anew, did a lot of Anew products.
These are good staples.
I miss those pads. They had peels.
Yes, that's a bestseller. They're the Anew retexturizing
peel. Do they still make them?
Yes, they still make this.
Those were so good.
One of the things that I worked on was taking that from a two-step to a one-step. We didn't have to do the neutralizing step in the peel. We were able to do it all in one, so it simplified the experience for consumers.
Very cool.
You're a genius. I need to, can we just, keep you in our pocket?
I know.
Questions
you might
on
be
demand.
On call. You might
I'd love to come back. This is so much fun. Thank you.
This was great. We'll get 10 more questions. We'll have you back next year.
Okay.
No problem. Thank you so much, Ron.
Thank you so much.
Bye,
Ron. Really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Ron, thank you so much again. I feel like I've been a little bit biased because the people we chose have been really great supporters of the show. But I have to say, thank you so much for supporting the show. We support you. We love everything you're doing. And I am so excited to see where you go in 2021. This is just the beginning of Ron Robinson and the scientific revolution.
Beauty stat. Yeah.
Doesn't it sound like, sounds like a band. I'm thinking of Prince and the Revolution.
Ron Robinson and the scientific revolution is an excellent, early 80s yacht rock.
Totally.
Band.
I know. I'm hearing the sound.
I feel like,
Ron
would be on board for that.
Yeah, right?
I feel like he'd be into that. Yeah.
There's definitely backup dancers. Woo! Yes, I just
He's definitely
did
got
dance.
The fashion sense for it. Yeah. Okay. What are you raising a wand to?
Well, in our little interim, I was struggling with what I was going to do. Jen was trying to give me some inspo. She's like, hand cream, nothing is strong enough. Makeup, I was like, I'm not wearing any. I'm so crusty and miserable at the end of the year. that's not true. I am loving my makeup by Mario. Metallic metals, whatever, pigment, molten pigments. But all in all, I have just kind of been in a little bit of what is getting me going. And it hit me like a lightning bolt. I don't want to sound like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth. I am all about shopping and supporting our peeps. But in this, you can think, as Kristen Bell, I think she said this, you can think two thoughts at once. You can hold space for two things. Something else that's been going on in my life as I'm trying to declutter my one bedroom, absolute hoarder's paradise of an apartment right now with all the baby stuff and the work from home shit that's coming in and it's just madness, is I try to get rid of stuff, but I don't want to put it into giant plastic barge in the, in the ocean. Uh-huh. I'm trying to find a way to get rid of it in a responsible way. I have discovered the magic of buy nothing groups on Facebook. Do you know what these are?
And I don't go on Facebook and I really should. Tell me more.
So I found these just through I don't even know how I found it. Maybe through some mom group or something, or I found them this year as there's a lot of mom group stuff on Facebook to get rid of some stuff for Lake, when she outgrew her little lamb sit-up seat where she fit in for 2 months. Mm-hmm. I put, instead of putting it in the garbage, which would be a crime because it was pristine, I put it on this buy nothing group in my neighborhood. So where I live in my neighborhood, which is a small, one neighborhood in Manhattan, I say—
I was going to say, if I have to mail it, it's going to be annoying.
Oh, I mailed—
This is amazing.
Dude, I mailed her Dock-A-Tot to someone from Poshmark. She used it
for
6 months. And the Dock-A-Tot was $200. So I'm I'm going to make some money off of this. I have it. I mailed the Dock-A-Tot. You know how much it was to mail the Dock-A-Tot? $90. So
that's what I'm saying.
When I made it, it broke even. And I was great. I spent an hour and a half of my life going to the post office and packing it up.
So keeping it out of the trash. A noble deed.
But I was that was great. I should have just put it on the Buy Nothing group, which is what I'll do for her next one. So long story longer. Here's what happened. I go on the Buy Nothing group with the little lamb seat. I just put it on the thing free. Come pick it up from, my neighborhood. I don't put my address there.
Genius.
This woman comes, picks it up. Then the next day, I'm like, okay, I need to get rid of like 3 bags of her clothes. Again, she wore each like once because I was very lucky. I got a lot of nice like presents for the first like 0 to 6 months. So I'm not going to like just, you know, throw them in the garbage or something criminal like that. Somebody comes. Get this. Once you exchange the Facebook message and you say like, I live at this, you know, you're not going to put your address on the Facebook group.
Yeah.
I discover this person is really close friends with like one of my friends. So now I just, I found out that she was having a baby. So it's like you meet people in your community. Are we going to be best friends for life? Absolutely not. But it's like it was, but it was like a nice community building
thing. Damn, don't be rude to Susan.
But no, I don't mean like I don't want to be friends with
her. No,
but
I know.
If she wants to be
friends. The kind of thing, if we all lived in villages back in the day, that would happen naturally in our weird modern world, can't happen.
Exactly.
Anymore.
And oh my, like I just, I've probably gotten rid of, like, if you laid it out on my floor, like something that would fill up like a quarter of my apartment through the Buy Nothing group. And
I love
it's
that.
It's awesome. It's a way to like help people in your community who like don't want to spend money because hello, like nobody has any right now. It's just so great. It's a feel good thing and it helps you declutter your space. So check out the Buy Nothing groups. So many people, it's not a Manhattan thing. I learned this is happening all over.
I know. I bet a lot of our listeners are like, yeah, obviously. But guys, New York is a special place where you're kind of like out of the loop with a lot of what goes on in the real world.
Yes. Just, yeah. If I sound like an absolute moron, just give me a pass. I just learned
I didn't
about
mean that.
This.
I just meant like, yeah, no. But if you don't know, someone else doesn't know. So it's good to share.
Yeah, you can get like toys, bikes. Oh, yeah. People are giving away VHS things. It was like, I have all the Speed movies on VHS. And it was like claimed within like 2 minutes.
What? Who wanted that? All right.
There's a buyer for everything. A taker.
It is true. I should have gone on there when I was in the hunt for an air filter, but I ended up buying one and I want to raise a wand to it because I love it. So when we got little Wolfgang, as you know, he is hairless and very soon we will know what his breed is because Eric got me the Embark doggy DNA for Hanukkah so I can find out what breed he is.
Explain what Embark is really quickly for our dog friends.
Oh, it's like Ancestry or 23andMe, but for dogs. So you swab a little of their saliva and mail it away and I'll find out what breed he is. But he is hairless, and I do have a little bit of a dog allergy, but it was okay. But when we first got him, my eyes were itchy and things because he still has a little bit of hair. And Jess was really helpful. She said the standard solution. I was like, Then somebody was like, you need to get a HEPA air filter. Hello, 2020, as if I didn't know that air filtration was important. So I went and I did a lot of research and I got the Conway air filter. I'll put a link to on it. It was $200. It is quiet AF.
Oh,
I've already cleaned it twice. Here's the thing with air filters. I think a lot of people just put them out there and they're like, it's good.
When
I don't have to touch it.
Yeah.
No, you have to vacuum the little one level of the filter every 2 weeks, but it's so easy to do that. It's not gross and old and moldy looking, quiet. And like the minute I plugged it in, my itchy eyes went away.
So do you put it like in your bedroom or in the main room?
In the main room, like kind of near where Wolfgang does most of his hanging out.
Okay.
And clearly it has the tiny, tiny particle capture because it's getting his dander because it was like the next day, all of a sudden life was good. And I also just feel like, I don't know if this is true, but my plants feel happier. I feel happier. There's something about air filtration, especially when you live in a city, because you know that stuff comes in.
Yeah.
And we're also now a no-shoe household because like, I'm just trying to like—
Oh my God, dreams. I want to be one so badly.
Yeah, so we have like outside our door, we have like a little tray for all the shoes.
Wait, so anyway, like outside your door, like your neighbor could take your shoes if they wanted to?
Yes, but we live in an apartment building and nobody's stealing our shoes.
Okay.
There's only 2 apartments on our floor.
Okay.
So
okay.
We know but the Conway air filter is what I'm raising a wand to. If you're in the market for one, I really recommend it. And if you don't have an air filter at all, I do recommend getting one because I just feel healthier. And don't we all want that in 2021?
Yes.
Healthy air?
Yes.
Yeah. So raise a wand.
I love that.
Oh, wow. We were talking for a while. Sorry about that, Ron, stealing your thunder. But this was a great episode to end the year on. We love you guys. And we will be back in the new year.
Yes. Thank you for hanging with us this year. This was awesome.
We hope you enjoyed the show. It's your reviews and feedback that help us make the podcast even better. Head over to iTunes to rate and review us or email your thoughts to info@fatmascara.com.
We also want to answer your beauty questions and hear what products you love. To share a Raise a Wand product review or to ask a beauty question, email us at info@fatmascara.
If you send it as a voice memo file, we can even share your voice on the podcast. You can also do that by leaving us a voice message. Our phone number in the United States is 646-481-8182.
Thanks so much for listening.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.